N10, brought to you by Muswell Hill Media.
Hello and welcome back to the N10 show. On the show today, we catch up with Sean Conway, the Muswell Hill man cycling the world for Solar Aid.
Everything was going really, really well up until I hit Arkansas in America. I was averaging near 180 miles a day through the Atacama Desert and all the difficult countries. And as soon as it got a bit easier, I was fortunately run over by a truck in Arkansas.
We bring you a new novel by local author and stand-up comic Simon Lipson, Song in the Wrong Key.
I smiled and picked up the song where I'd left off, upping the volume extravagantly and losing a little tonal accuracy in the process. Millie looked up dolefully, half covering her ears, wincing. "The thing is, Dad, you're singing," she said. I nodded, awaiting her sweet little put-down. "It's shit."
And we end with a preview of what to expect at the Crouch End Arts Festival, which starts this Friday.
The festival lasts for 9 days, starting on Friday the 4th, and we have about 50 venues, probably about 150 different events, everything from art exhibitions to poets in phone boxes.
You're listening to the N10 show with me, LJ. So we start this week with another cycling feature. You might remember a couple of months ago we spoke to Sean Conway just as he was about to embark on his round the world cycle ride in order to raise money for charity Solar Aid. Well, he sent in this update at the weekend for you from LA.
Hello everyone in Muswell Hill in North London. It's Sean Conway here, the guy who's cycling around the world for charity. I just thought I'd send a bit of an update. I've cycled through England, Spain, Morocco, South America, and I'm now just finished my American leg. Everything was going really, really well up until I hit Arkansas in America. I was averaging near 180 miles a day through the Atacama Desert and all the difficult countries. And as soon as it got a bit easier, I was unfortunately run over by a truck in Arkansas. My injuries were pretty bad. I suffered a compression fracture to my spine, severe whiplash and concussion. Luckily, no real sort of long-term damage. It's been nearly a month now, and although I've been able to get back on the bike and back on the road, it's pretty slow going, and my average has dropped way down to about 150 miles a day, which, although sounds, you know, quite a lot, is way off the pace from what I'm used to, so that's a little frustrating. But I'm definitely still going to carry on no matter what. I will finish what I set out to do from the beginning and try and raise loads of money for Solar Aid. So I'm here in LA at the moment. I fly to Sydney tomorrow, and from there I cycle across Australia and then carry on my journey through Malaysia, Thailand, India, and then from Turkey back through Europe. So just sort of giving you guys an update, looking forward to coming back to Muswell Hill at the end of this and seeing everyone. Thank you for all your support. You guys have been really great. It's always nice to get a few messages every day on Facebook and Twitter. If anyone else there wants to follow my my attempt, it's cyclingtheearth.co.uk. From there you'll be able to GPS track me every 10 minutes, which is quite cool on a little Google map type thing. And also there'll be links to Facebook and Twitter, which I probably use a little bit too much, to be honest. So apologies for everyone who's following me if I bombard them with all my tweets. But it's just great to share what I'm going through at the moment. So thanks to everyone for their messages of support again. And I look forward to seeing you all in July. So catch up soon. Ciao.
That was Sean Conway, and I hope he gets back in one piece. He sounds a bit flat to me, so maybe you could all log on to his site or tweet him for some support. I'm sure it makes such a difference to have a friendly word or two from home. And in keeping with last week's show, where we started with the cycling piece and then moved on to some literature, this week we have some excerpts of a new novel, Song in the Wrong Key, by local writer and comedian Simon Lipson.
It's about a guy called Mike Kenton, who's a sort of happily married family man living in West London. As I collected the requisite plates, cutlery and glasses, I began to sing Home, the all-time Michael Bublé classic, in my book anyway. The kids pointedly ignored me, embarrassed for and by me. So I waltzed closer to them, knives and forks for dancing partners, forcing the poor things to cower at the table. Katia pulled her book around her face in an attempt to insulate herself from the crooning nutter, while Millie stifled a smile as she coloured in a pencil-drawn map of Ireland, Peru, or possibly Jupiter in her exercise book. I leaned down, singing first into Katia's, then Millie's ear. They cringed theatrically. "Come on," I pleaded. "You always used to love it when Daddy sang to you." "That was when we were young," said Millie, now seven. I smiled and picked up the song where I'd left off, upping the volume extravagantly and losing a little tonal accuracy in the process. Millie looked up dolefully, half covering her ears, wincing. "The thing is, Dad, you're singing," she said. I nodded, awaiting her sweet little put-down. "It's shit." He's plodding quite sort of contentedly towards retirement. He's 42 years old. Married to a very glamorous, successful woman, and suddenly he's made redundant. Out of the blue, doesn't see it coming, and his life starts to implode. And his wife carries on getting more and more successful, his kids are oblivious, but his life is falling apart, can't find another job. And finally, after much to-ing and fro-ing, he nails an interview with a pucker company based in the city, gets on his suit again and his shiny shoes, so he's quite excited. "So, have you nailed down any decent contracts recently?" said Phil. "Was 1998 recent, or would that be stretching it? Most of my other triumphs in between had nestled somewhere between insignificant and loss-making, or loss-leading, as I preferred to characterise them. I had no option. The old ones are the best. I was this close to landing a monster deal with Virgin," I said. "Monster!" "Fell down at the last hurdle because we couldn't fulfil one tiny little requirement. Bloody heartbreaker." "Virgin? Wow," said Phil. "Yes, it was impressive, wasn't it? Wait until I told him about the Microsoft and Shell contracts I didn't get." In his youth, he was a singer. He used to have dreams of being a pop star. And these came to nothing because he got married and decided to do something sensible instead, which was to forge a career in IT. And it's only through this period of being at home and having nothing to do that he starts to play guitar again and starts to remember some of the old songs. And as his professional life continues to disintegrate, he thinks, well, what the hell, I may as well, you know, pursue this singing business. So he found a new job in Crouch End. And it's with a very crummy computer repair company. But over the road is a bistro. And he remembers this place as somewhere where they used to do music. And it turns out it's also the place where he met his wife while he was singing one night. So he goes over there, just out of curiosity, and finds that they still do music nights. And he thinks, well, should he? Why not? Let's give it a go. So he goes in and decides, you know, he asks the owner, a guy called Kevin, whether he can perhaps come along one night and do 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But, on the night of the audition, he turns up late. He gets caught up in traffic, turns up very late. By the time he gets there, Kevin's not interested in listening to him sing. He's in the kitchen preparing for the evening with the chef, who's busy chopping some vegetables. But he's there now. Mike's there, he's undaunted, he straps on his guitar, he's going to stand in the kitchen and sing his song. "My throat, still cold and dry from the icy February air, rendered my voice pleasantly husky. I know it sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain." Kevin and the hitherto catatonic chopper look round. The porthole door swung violently in and cracked my shoulder, sending me shooting forward as the waitress entered behind me. My left foot squelched into a plastic container full of animal fat, and my leg threatened to get away from me. I just about hauled it back and regained my balance. A little thing like an involuntary splits manoeuvre wasn't going to stop me. girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow. The D string was a bit out, but I was in full flow now and I had an audience listening with, I sensed, grudging admiration. Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can. I ploughed on, got through to the chorus, belted it out and stopped. I'd laid myself bare and could do no more. There was pin drop silence, genuine stupefaction painted on their faces. I waited for the applause. The waitress was the first to speak. Kev, can you chuck over that J cloth? Table 7's effing filthy. Finally, he does get the job in the Crouching Bistro. And one night he's singing and he's spotted by an American man who is a record producer, runs a record company in Crouch End. He comes in and sees Mike performing with his, he's with his assistant, and they rather like one of his songs. And without getting into too much detail, he is approached by the record producer who is desperate for a song for the Eurovision Song Contest. He's been asked to provide a song for the contest and has run out of ideas. There's nothing as suitable, but suddenly there's a song sung by Mike, written by Mike, and Mike then is then wrapped up in this Eurovision Song Contest idea. Well, will he give his song to it? Of course he will. I won't say any more than that because that's really where the story starts to sort of take off.
That was Simon Lipson with his new novel. And if you're interested to read Song in the Wrong Key, you can follow the link on n10show.com to buy a copy, or I think you can pick up one at the bookshop in Muswell. And finally, to the Crouch End Arts Festival, which we also featured a couple of months ago when it was really still in its planning stages. Well, the time has finally arrived and it kicks off on Friday. And here's one of the organisers, James Bridgman, with what to expect.
The festival lasts for 9 days, starting on Friday the 4th, and we have about 50 venues, probably about 150 different events, everything from art exhibitions to poets in phone boxes. There's a few people who have volunteered to help out, and local artists to either be in the phone box or people can phone from the phone box to receive a poem. The main focus event, really, which is on Saturday from 12 o'clock, which runs through till 7 in the evening. We have an opening ceremony at 2:45 in front of the Town Hall, and there's going to be Lynn Featherstone, Andrew Thornton and Martin Gerard there. There's going to be a crafts trail with, I think, probably more than 20 different craft stalls outside Oddbins, Budgeons, Monkey Nuts, Nest. In the library, there are various events, including, I think, on Tuesday, we've got a Booker Prize nominee and Orange Prize winner talking for a seminar during that time. Lots of gigs going on. At the Music Palace, we've got Saturday and Sunday. We've got sort of variety acts, and there's a sort of burlesque night as well. You'll find, if you look on the website, which is crouchendfestival.org, you'll find the latest listings there. Most of the events are free. There may be charges, for example. There are workshops for kids and for adults to do different creative activities. The programmes, they're being distributed outside Budgeons most days this week, and also from the library. You can pick it up from the cafe library. There's also the Gorilla Bunting Project, which people may have seen in the local papers, where fabric swatches from the cancer research shop up in Muswell Hill have been supplied and they're being made into bunting. So everyone makes their own little piece of bunting and then they're sewn together on the Saturday and they're going to decorate the whole of Crouch End. So we should have over 1,000 pieces by the time we're finished, and all money goes back to the cancer charity. There's lots of things going on in Haberdashery. I know they've got various gigs booked in and they actually start one of the venues that start the festival on the Friday with Bar Boot. We're also looking for volunteers, so just even if you can spend a couple of hours, particularly over the bank holiday weekend, just for things like if you've got transport to move things around, or just to be a steward for a couple of hours at some of the events, that would be really helpful. Just email info@crouchendfestival.org. There's also an information line that is 0332 407 409. Also, we're going to be putting posters in different venues with QR codes, so you can scan those with your smartphone and that will take you to the listing for that venue.
That was James Bridgman, and it sounds like they've done a fantastic job in organising the festival, so I hope you'll all go down to support it at some point over the next few days. All the contact details, you know, the number and the website and everything for the festival are on ntenshow.com. And that's it. That's all we have for this week. My thanks to Sean, James and Simon. We're back as usual next week, so if you'd like to take part or have any comments, you can log on to ntenshow.com or you can follow us on Twitter at MuzzleHM. Till next week, goodbye.
N10, brought to you by Muswell Hill Media.